Well, good morning again, and once again, happy Mother's Day. We can't say that enough. When I was growing up, my mom was the mom of moms. She was a stay-at-home mom for most of my life, and she was responsible for stretching every dollar to keep the house up and feed three young kids. She tended our garden and canned vegetables. She made a homemade everything, including jellies, jams, grape juice, cookies, and pies. My two favorites were pumpkin pie in the fall, because they were made from the pumpkins out of our garden. And for my birthday, she always made a butterscotch banana cream pie, including the crust, which was from scratch, and it was wonderful. She mended worn-out clothes, and when we needed new clothes, sometimes she went out and bought the patterns and the fabric and made them. She hauled us to and from every activity and sport. She chaperoned field trips, worked the concession stands, and volunteered to be the team mom. As a kid, she was there for scraped-up knees, and later she was there for broken hearts as a teenager. And when she thought I was getting too big for my britches, as most teenage boys get, she told me this story of a little farm woman who was raising some boys, and one of her boys got too big to think he needed to listen to mama. So one night, in the middle of the night, she spent the night sewing his bed sheets together, and then she took the broom and beat him. And mom said, "Remember, I am a very good sewer." But most importantly, it was my mom who took me to church. My dad had little to do with church, especially when I was young. And if my mom had not taken me to church, who knows if I would have ever found Jesus. A good mom can have a great impact. And one of the greatest mothers of all time, of course, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. We all remember the story of the birth of Jesus and the call of Mary in the book of Luke when the angel Gabriel gave her the announcement and she faithfully responded. In Luke 1, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. And we know how brave and courageous she was in taking on this responsibility. For in her culture, if she was seen to be pregnant out of wedlock, she could have been stoned to death. And then she had to endure the birth in the manger. Not only that, the travel to get to Bethlehem. But after it was done and the shepherds were leaving, the scriptures tells us that Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And then it wasn't too long before they had to escape to Egypt to save the life of Jesus. And when it was time, they moved back and settled in Nazareth. And from the time of his birth, the scriptures say in Luke 2, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. But despite having an alleged perfect child, things weren't always perfect for Mary and Joseph. The story of Jesus when he was 12 and Mary and Joseph lost him. Remember that story? Traveled for 2 or 3 days and said, "Whoa, where's Jesus?" Turns out he stayed behind in Jerusalem. And they frantically searched for him, finding him teaching in the temple. And Luke 2 says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." But once they realized Jesus was truly doing God's will, the scriptures say that his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And again, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, in the scriptures from there, we have a big jump in time. We don't know much about Jesus from age 12 to age 30. We do know Jesus was single, which would have been very unusual for a man of his age not to be married. I mean, most of them were married by the time they were 17 to 19. And then there is no real sign in the New Testament that Joseph is still alive. But as Jesus begins his ministry, we know that his mom was still involved in his life. And we see at the wedding at Cana, she coaxes him to turn the water into wine. From John chapter 2, it says, "When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you to do.' And Jesus performs the miracle. The water is turned into wine. And from there, his ministry is off and running. And in John chapter 2, we see what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. So as you can see, the scripture says Jesus was close to his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. They traveled together. They were part of the ministry together. But from here early on, things get a little bit off. Jesus goes out preaching, teaching, healing, and driving out demons. And then we get to our story in Mark 30. It says, Jesus entered a house and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. And when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Now here's the family of Jesus watching things seem to spin out of control. You know, it's okay, Jesus, you did a nice miracle. Good, okay, you're doing a little bit of teaching. But now things are starting to get chaotic. I mean, after 30 years of mostly a quiet life, this quiet carpenter suddenly is outdoing outrageous things to them. And now he has crowds so stirred up, so eager to see him and pushing and shoving that he couldn't even eat. And according to his family, the only excuse for his behavior is he's gone off the deep end. This guy's lost it. He's kind of a nutcase now. Have you ever said that about a family member? Woo! He's no longer one of us. But the story says there were others that had another idea. Verse 22 says, the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem says, he is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. So the leaders of the church saying, this guy's possessed by the devil himself. That's the only way he can be doing all these crazy things is by the power of the devil. And then to make things worse, what does Jesus do? He gets an argument with them. And he argues with the teachers of the law. And so Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? And Jesus goes on to confront the teachers of the law and goes on to defend himself. And his family says, okay, we need to go in and get him before he gets in some real trouble. Because you don't want to confront the teachers of the law. The teachers of the law had temple guards, and they could have you arrested. And they said, before Jesus gets in too much trouble, before he gets arrested, let's go in and get him. And in verse 31, then Jesus' mothers and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. And Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Wow, did Jesus really just say that? Who are my mother and my brothers? This would be the point of the story where my mom would come in and tell me that story again about the bed sheets, sewing them together and beating me with a broomstick. Or she might come in and grab me by the ear and say, you're not too old for a bar of soap in the mouth, right? How dare you say that? Who's my mother? Who's my brothers? But then Jesus says something really profound. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus points us to something beyond our worldly connections. Don't get me wrong, our biological connections are important. But let's face it, there are times our biological connections are limited. There are times when family lets us down. There are times when families fight. And unfortunately, there are times when families split. And Jesus points us to a higher level of relationship, a life lived in our God's will. We as Christians are united through our faith in Christ as a family. So where our human frailty and our sins fail us, living in God's will together unites us. And I would like to think that Mary understood this message. While it may have sounded hurtful at first, Mary knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Mary knew that he was the Messiah. Mary remembered all of those times that she treasured things in her heart. The times at the temple when they were honored by the prophets. The times when the wise men came and honored him as king. The time that he was found in the temple, and even the teachers of the temple were in awe of his astounding knowledge of the scripture. And Mary followed her son all throughout his ministry. She was among the women that helped support the ministry of Jesus. And the scripture says that Mary even followed her son all the way to the cross. Again from John. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. See, with Jesus as the oldest son, it was his responsibility to take care of his mother in the absence of his father. Now, by Jewish tradition, James, the brother of Jesus, should have been the one assigned to take care of his mother. But here, Jesus said what's more important is our Christian faith and our Christian unity. And he appoints John, one of his closest disciples, and says, "This is now your mother. And mother, this is now your son." Through faith, you two are united forever. You see, when we are obedient to God's will, when we are united in faith, God will bring us together like family is supposed to be. Through God, we are brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. Those of you who are more seasoned in life, you are called to be mothers, fathers, and grandparents to all of the people here. And to those of you who are less seasoned, look around you. You have a responsibility to love these people as your parents and grandparents. This is a part of God's great plan to take care of us. He uses his church to provide each other with a more perfect love, a more selfless love. And for our biological families, it is through faith in Christ, not just your bloodline, that will strengthen and deepen your relationships. Jesus demonstrated to us that living out our faith in God is the best way that we can love God and love each other. you really want to show mom your love, live it out in your faith. You really want to show love to your kids, live it out through your faith. And if your children are long gone, guess what? You have a congregation full of brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters right here. You got grandchildren sitting right here. And for you young people, look around at the people who are here and established in faith. When life fails you and you have a lack of role models, you can look to these people to show you what love for Christ is, to show you how to live out a faithful life. That is God's great plan for us to take care of each other. So not only is it a happy Mother's Day because of my mother who brought me to faith in Jesus Christ by taking me to church. Not only is it a happy Mother's Day because I have a faithful, loving wife. Trust me, to be a pastor's wife is a special gift. Not one she asked for, but one that was bestowed upon her. It's a happy Mother's Day. But I can tell you, with friends like Martha and Diana and Jeannie and a lot of you ladies, Pam, you guys are mothers to me. And your love and your support supports me. And I wish you all a wonderful and happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Gracious God, the gift of motherhood is something very special. But because we live in a broken world, sometimes those relationships become broken. And Lord, sometimes we don't understand why there's not a true love between her mother and her children. But Lord, where our earthly ways fail us, Lord, let us fill it through your Son, Jesus Christ, who by his gracious love united us together so that we could become a more perfect family. And Lord, sometimes even as your church, we're not perfect, but Lord, we know we are working to it. Lord, let our grace abound so that through our faith and through our loving union, we may become more perfect and that we can abound in a love that spills out to the rest of the world and becomes our great testimony. And may it lead others to faith in Christ. This is our prayer. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Part of God's plan for taking care of us is everything right here. When we love Christ and when we love each other, we provide an amazing amount of nurturing and support where we can encourage each other to grow closer to God. We can encourage each other to step out in faith and do amazing things. Over the last year, God has been working on a lot of great things in this church. A lot of great hearts have been moved and stirred. And may through our faith and our love for one another, may we continue to reach forward to the great things that God has planned for this church. Let us leave here in his love. Let us leave here in love for one another. Allow us to be brothers, sisters, mothers, and fathers. Let us go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.